fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Donating organs isn't something we tend to think about a lot, but when the time comes that we no longer need our organs, they can, in fact, be life-saving to someone else. Last year, the lives of more than 1,600 Australians were saved because of organ donation, and around 9,600 people benefited from other transplants. Despite this success at one time in Australia, there are still around 1,400 people waiting for an organ transplant. And here to talk to us about donating organs and joining the Australian Organ Donor Register is David Symes from Fiona Stanley Hospital. Dr. Symes is an organ donation specialist and is also the hospital medical director at Donate Life. And he's here with us now. Welcome to the MAG.
Georgia, thank you very much.
No worries. So, well, firstly, why do people need transplants?
There's a number of reasons. All of us run into various health issues, and if one of our organs fails for whatever reason, then there are certain things we can do and can't do in medicine, and if it gets too bad, then you're stuck needing to have that organ replaced. And until we can clone organs, sometime in 20 or 30 years, we're going to be stuck looking at organ tissue donation. You can lose function of your organs from any medical illness, from trauma, from any form of damage, autoimmune disease. There's any number of things that can reduce the function and eventual cause failure of your organs.
So when we're talking about organs, let's put it down into terms that I can understand. What type of organs are we talking about?
You're looking at all the major organs that keep us ticking over, from your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver, pancreas, intestines.
Okay. And so, is a spleen an organ?
Yes, it is an organ. We don't do spleen transplants. They do bone marrow transplants, and in those cases you can, and this is getting outside my particular area, you can have your own marrow replaced after you've had immunosuppression or radiotherapy. But yes, there's bone marrow transplant. There isn't, to my knowledge, direct spleen transplant, but there are apparently splenic parts that can be returned to your body.
And because I guess there's some organs that we can live without?
There are, and you've got paired organs such as your kidneys, where in fact you can be alive and give one of your kidneys very successfully, and living donation accounts for a third of organ donation in Australia. You can give a kidney, you can give part of your liver to somebody, but two-thirds of organ donation happens after we pass away, and that has to be under very specific circumstances, usually in an intensive care unit on various forms of life support. And even then, only about 2% of people can become organ donors.
Really?
Mm.
That's not much. That's
it's
not many
not,
people.
It's not, which means that, yes, we're all going to die, but only 1-2% of, not today, only 1-2% of us are going to be able to be donors, even if, like myself, you'd see that as an incredibly altruistic act.
Yeah, right. So how does donating organs and tissue, so we can't forget about the tissues that we can, and we're not talking about blowing your nose tissues.
Check.
A little bit funny. Tell me how it works.
Okay, well, there's a myriad of different things you have to go through when you become an organ donor. As you, the patient who's passed away, you don't have to do a lot. But everybody afterwards is running around trying to make the system work. And that involves finding out who is in desperate need of a heart, lungs, other organs around Australia. So it's not just Western Australia, it's all of Australia. You pass away, and then the donor coordinators communicate with everyone around Australia and find out who's in most desperate need, who's going to be deceased within a couple of days if they don't get an organ, and those organs are allocated to the most needy and then subsequently to the closest match of those organs around Australia.
Okay, so is it like kind of like how we see in the movies and the TV shows where as soon as someone passes away, everyone's running?
It can be a super time-pressured event. It doesn't sound like that should be the case, but there are a couple of different forms of organ donation after you pass away. One which is very controlled donation after brain death, one which is a more time-pressured donation after circuitry death. You can become deceased by permanent irreversible cessation of brain function. You can become deceased by permanent irreversible cessation of your circulation, which is the way most of us go.
And that's obviously circulation being that the blood isn't going around your body, so then the organs become no good.
That's right. That's where there's difficulty in time pressure, because from the time your circulation stops, your organs are deteriorating in function, and there's only a certain amount of time to have those organs be retrieved at surgical explantation by going to theatre when you're deceased, having the organs retrieved surgically for those organs to then be put into someone to have successful transplant function. And it's a restricted number of organs that can be retrieved that way. It's kidneys and lungs in WA, livers and hearts they're actually starting to do over in New South Wales very, very successfully, and it's taken off in the UK as well.
Yeah, right. So, as we said, you may... Well, you're most likely going to be deceased if you're being a donor. But what kind of health do you have to be in order to be able to be a donor?
Well, as you point out, the health's got to be pretty good in the specific organs that are going to be given away. So most of us die because one of our organs has failed more than some of the others, and most of us die with actually functional organs in most of our body. So it's those organs that are still functional that would be considered for transplantation.
How, this is a bit off topic and just yep. something that I want to know, but how do you know if the organ is still ticking?
Well, when you're in an ICU, an intensive care unit, we're doing blood tests on you on a regular basis, and we try to keep everything in the very normal range to give you the best chance of surviving. We know pretty well which organs are working, not working, which ones need support, which ones don't. It's only when there's usually irreversible brain injury that someone can be considered for organ donation, although there are a number of subsets of conditions that could allow it. So we can tell pretty much which organs are working okay, and we give that information, the donor coordinators give that information to the recipient teams around Australia, and they can assess whether the patient they know, their 20-year-old with cystic fibrosis who needs new lungs, whether those lungs from the donor are going to be of good enough quality and are going to provide the necessary decade.
Okay, so it's not to say that, like just taking for example, it's not to say that someone who smoked once in their life can't be a donor or something like that, or is there kind of strict rules around that kind of stuff?
It's done on a person-by-person, organ-by-organ basis. If you've smoked a little bit, it's usually not going to preclude you being a terrific liver, pancreas, other tissue donor. It may impact on your lung function, and it may, depending on how hard you went at it, preclude you from being a successful lung donor.
Same with the liver, I guess.
It is. Yeah.
So why? Why should we be organ donors?
Well, I guess there's people around Australia now who probably about 10,000 people who over the last 10 years got organs and are alive because of it. So you just really have to meet one person who's alive now who shouldn't be alive because their organ failed to realise just how dramatically life-changing it is. And we're going to be meeting a couple of those people on Donate Life Week next week, week after next, 29th of July, who are walking examples of what can be done with organ donation, and talking to them. And just it's incredible, not just for the organs, but for tissue donation, to talk to people who can see and have restarted their lives, who've gone from being completely blind to being able to see. But that's on the eye donation, tissue donation, which is about 6 or 7 times more common than organ donation.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So so I can donate my eyes?
After you're deceased, you can donate your eyes. Don't do it yet. Yes. In fact, if you die in a hospital, you can become an eye donor. So that's a much bigger pool of people who can become eye and tissue donors than organ donors, because your circulation can have stopped for up to 24 hours to be a successful tissue donor.
So I have beautiful green eyes, so I've been told. So does that mean that someone will then have my green eyes? Or just, I can't get my head around this.
No, they won't have your beautiful green eyes. They'll have whatever colour eyes that they were born with. They will have the cornea, which is the clear part of the eye, transplanted, and it will be replacing an unclear part of the blind person's eye, so that the light can penetrate, hit the retina, and take off and do its job of being able to see.
That's so cool. That's really cool. Okay, well, let's talk about what stops people from becoming organ donors. I mean, you think it's... Thinking about it now, I didn't even know about the eye thing. And as we were talking a little bit earlier and kind of saying, you know, it's kind of scary thinking about it, but there's also so many fantastic benefits. So What stops these people?
Nothing really actively stops most people. About more than 80% of Australians are very pro the idea of organ donation. When you ask them why they're not registered, they tend to say because they haven't got round to it, I haven't had the time. And that's where the Organ and Tissue Authority in Australia have tried to make it as easy as possible to go on the register, because going on the register means everybody knows what you want. If you're on the register, 90% of families support your wish on the register to go forward. So it makes a dramatic difference to the organ donation numbers. And you register just by typing in Donate Life onto your web browser. It takes you to the Donate Life site. And on the very first page, it says, do you want to register? And it takes less than a minute, and you just need your Medicare number to be able to register. And then there are a bunch of different links that you can go to, which allow you to find out about all the aspects of organ donation so you can give informed consent.
So are you saying, does that mean that if, say, I give my consent to be an organ donor, my family has the opportunity to say no?
Yeah, there's always a bone of contention, and it's always difficult. Some families just can't bring themselves to allow the donation process to go ahead. But 90-95% of the time, if you're on the register, families follow your organ donation decision. If you're not on the register and they don't know, families guess that you would have wanted to be a donor and go forward with it about 40% of the time, which means you miss out on having those organs donated, and people at the recipient end pass away on the waiting list as a result.
So I guess as hard as the conversation may be, it's also very important that we have these conversations with our family and let them know how we feel.
That is probably the most important thing, is to have a chat, whether it's Donate Life Week or whenever, and say, look, I'd be happy to be a donor of X or Y tissues. Some people particularly don't like the idea of specific organs or tissues being donated. Others say, well, I'm deceased, please give it to anybody who'd use it. The conversation is the big deal. But the organ donation register means that once you're no longer speaking, once you've passed away, the donor coordinator can access that register on your behalf and show your family what you had requested, yes or no, which specific tissues or organs, if that makes a difference to you.
Okay, so this register, is it easy? How do we do it? How do we get on there?
Ridiculously easy. Less than 60 seconds. Type in Donate Life to your website and web browser, and away you go. And just have your Medicare number there. You can check whether you're on the register just by dialing Medicare. There's a 1-800 number that I can't remember. And that gets you straight through to check whether you're on the register. Because some people think they're on the register and they're not, having thought that they had their driver's licence ticked about 20 years ago. And that's why West Australia has about 37% of us are on the donor register. In South Australia, where they've got registration linked to your driver's licence, they've got the highest registration level of about 67%. 7%. So worth checking, worth just ringing Medicare and check whether you're on the Donate Life organ donation register, or just go on the Donate Life website and register, and it's all done.
Well, David, thank you so much for being on Fitter Happier with us today and giving us a little bit of an insight into how we can help.
Thank you very much, Georgia. It's been a pleasure.
And if you did want that Medicare number, it is 1-800-777-203, or head online to www.donatelife.gov.au.